Welcome to Abergavenny Baptist Church.
Life, faith, together.
The Bible reading is from Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 to 32.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.' As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'"
So often in life, things don't turn out the way we had hoped. You may have hoped for a loved one's health to improve, only for it to deteriorate. Or perhaps you hope for a relationship to be restored, only for things to get worse. Or perhaps you'd hoped for that great job, that dream job, that promotion, or that scholarship, only to be rejected. And your hopes and dreams come crashing down. And we say, "I had hoped things would be different." And in some ways, to live without hope is to cease to live. To live without hope, we can't really experience life in its fullness. Viktor Frankl, who is a Holocaust survivor, describes how hope was the single most important factor in surviving the Nazi death camps. He describes how when other prisoners lost hope, how they would simply curl up and die. You see, you simply cannot live without hope. And you certainly can't experience life in all its fullness without hope. But what is hope? Is hope merely wishful thinking? I hope we're going to have good weather when we're on holiday. Well, good luck with that. But so often, People's hope today is nothing more than optimism and wishful thinking. We'll be out of this death camp by Christmas. And Christmas comes and Christmas goes. We'll be out by Easter. And Easter comes and Easter goes. And then it's Christmas again. And they die of a broken heart. You can only deny reality for so long. And this wishful thinking and this hope and all these unrealistic positive thinking that is so popular in today's culture simply won't cut it. But here's the good news. Because Jesus is alive, because Jesus has risen from the dead, we have a hope that is greater than our disappointments. A hope that doesn't deny the reality of our disappointments and our heartaches, but goes beyond it. A resilient hope, an eternal hope. And when we receive that hope, we begin to experience life in all its fullness and we start feeling fully alive. And so today we continue our series entitled Alive, where we're going to be examining five life-changing encounters with the risen Jesus. And it's through these encounters with this risen Jesus that we can be transformed by love, surprised by hope, filled with peace, live in freedom, and fulfill our purpose. Today we're going to be focusing on surprise by hope. And within our passage in Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 to 32, two guys are surprised by hope when they have an encounter with the risen Jesus on the afternoon of that first Easter Sunday. I say guys, but it could have been a guy and a girl. It could have been a married couple. We don't know for sure because only one of them is named, and that's Cleopas. Now, because they are traveling and they're on their way home, some scholars believe that they could be a married couple, that the other person could be Cleopas' wife, Mary. And we're told in all the Gospels, we're told in John chapter 19 and verse 25, that Mary, the wife of Cleopas, was standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. She was there when he died. They witnessed Jesus being killed. And now all their hopes and their dreams have been shattered and they've decided to pack it in and go back home. And so they're traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, back home to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles away. And while they're on the road, they're talking about Jesus' death and trying to come to terms with all that has happened. And as they're walking along, we read in verses 15 and 16, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. They're talking about Jesus, and Jesus appears, and they don't recognize him. They're kept from recognizing him. Perhaps it's because of Jesus' new, risen from the dead body that they don't recognize him. Or perhaps Jesus is in disguise. You know, black glasses, rubber nose, fake mustache. Or perhaps it's their attitudes, it's their false expectations and their disappointment that has partially blinded them, that has made them spiritually blind. And we too can be like those disciples. Our attitudes, our disappointments, our false expectations can blind us to the reality that the risen Jesus is standing right in front of them. Can blind us to the truth. Jesus, however, doesn't say, "Hey guys, it's me, Jesus," but rather he plays along with them. And he pretends he doesn't know what they're talking about. And so he asks them in verse 17, "What are you discussing?" It In a state of utter disbelief, they reply, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days?" How hard must it have been for Jesus to keep a straight face at this point? Jesus' reply is priceless. "What things?" "What things?" he asked them in verse 19. Still in a state of complete, utter disbelief, they say, "About Jesus of Nazareth, duh." Jesus quickly covers his name badge that says Jesus of Nazareth. But you see, Jesus is probing them with questions because he wants to know what they think. He wants to hear about their disappointments because he's concerned for them. And it's the same for us. He's concerned about us. He wants to hear about our disappointments and our heartache. They go on to tell Jesus how he was a great prophet, a powerful prophet, but now he's been crucified. And they go on to say, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem free Israel. We had hoped." You see, they had this great hope that Jesus would go to Jerusalem and he would be crowned as king. And then he would defeat all evil. He would drive out the Romans and he would set them free. But now he's been crucified. He has failed to live up to their expectations. And so they say, "But we had hoped things would have worked out differently." Have you ever said that? "I had hoped things would be different." And it's because of this crushing sense of disappointment that they fail to recognize that it's the risen Jesus standing right in front of them. And what they fail to grasp in that very moment was that it was because of Jesus' death. It was through Jesus' death that God was working out a far greater freedom, a spiritual freedom, not just for Israel, but for the whole world. It was because of their expectations and their fixation on how they thought God ought to be working in the world that blinded them to the possibility that God could be working things out in a different way, in a far greater way. How often are we like that? When we're filled with disappointment and failed expectations, we become so transfixed on how we think God should do things. God, and if I was God, I would do this and I would do that. God, why aren't you doing that? And because of that, we become blinded to the reality that the risen Jesus is standing with us. And he's working out his plans in a different way. We're blinded to even the possibility that he could be working them out in a different way and in a far greater way. But take note, they don't hide their disappointment. They're open and honest. "We had hope." But also take note that Jesus is not put off by their disappointment or their lack of understanding or their lack of hope. No. Rather, Jesus specializes in drawing alongside and meeting people where they're at. He specializes in drawing alongside us at the point of our greatest struggle. Jesus continues and he asks them in verse 26, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Before they even able to say, we continue reading, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets," that's the whole Old Testament, "he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself." Wow. You know what amazes me? Is what he doesn't do. He doesn't, in a display of splendor, suddenly announce, "It's me, Jesus, risen from the dead." No, he gives them a Bible study. He opens up the scriptures. He starts going through the whole Old Testament. He shows them how the whole sweep of the Old Testament points to them, how the prophecies in the Old Testament state that he would suffer and die and then rise again. You know, I just think that's so significant for us today. Because we can't have an encounter with the physical, risen from the dead Jesus, but we have the same Old Testament. We can read the same prophecies about Jesus. And more than that, we have the first-hand eyewitness accounts to the life and the death and the resurrection of the Jesus written in the New Testament. And we can read the Bible. And what I found for myself, and I know countless other Christians throughout the ages have found, that it's through reading the Bible daily, and especially coming and listening to the Bible being preached on a Sunday, that Jesus slowly makes himself known to you. And clearly, Jesus opening up the scriptures to these two on the road had a profound impact. Later, when their eyes are opened, they say in verse 32, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Another translation says, "Were not our hearts strangely warmed while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" However, at this point, they still don't fully recognize Jesus. But they've clearly taken a liking to him, because by the time they get to their house, they invite him to come in and share an evening meal with them. And we read in verse 28, that Jesus pretended as if he was going on a little further. He acted as if he was going on a little further. And so they urged him strongly. They plead with him to stay with them. And he's like, "Oh, all right, if you insist." As if he intended of being anywhere else. Again, I think this is so significant. You see, Jesus will never force himself on you. You have to invite him in. You have to invite him into your life. And when he is invited in and he comes in, he assumes the role of host rather than guest. And just as he did when he fed the 5,000, and just as he did at the Last Supper, we read in verse 30, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. The exact same words as the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, in Luke chapter 22, we read, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The exact same words, the exact same actions. And when he does this, we read in verse 31, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him." It wasn't when he walked and talked, when he was speaking to them on the road. It wasn't when he opened up the Bible to them. But when he took the role of host and served them, their eyes were opened. The most characteristic thing that Jesus does is he takes bread, he gives thanks, he breaks it, and he gives it. Just as he gave his body, they took his body, broke his body, and gave it so that we could experience forgiveness. And suddenly their eyes are opened and everything makes sense. And it's the same for us. It's only when we come to realize what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's only when we come to invite Jesus into our life that we will receive His love and His forgiveness and His peace, and our eyes will be opened and we'll come to recognize and realize that the presence of the risen Jesus in our life by the Holy Spirit. And we will receive this profound sense of hope. A hope that is greater than our disappointments. You see, there will be disappointments in life. We live in a fallen world, so there will be disappointments in life. But we can have a hope that is greater than our disappointments. A real hope. Not a hope that denies reality, but a hope that accepts the gravity of the situation. It may look bleak, it may feel bleak, and your feelings are real. But we have a hope that goes beyond that. Because God is still working out His plans. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. Doesn't matter how many hopes we have in life. Ultimately, life leads to a hopeless end in death. One thing we can all be sure of is that we are all going to die. But Jesus rising from the dead has turned death from a hopeless end into an endless hope. Because Jesus is alive, we can experience life after death. And this is not wishful thinking. No, Jesus rising from the dead proves this is not wishful thinking. This is a sure and a certain hope that we have in Jesus. It's a resilient hope. It's an eternal hope. A real hope. Perhaps you're facing disappointments today. Perhaps you're thinking, well, you know, things haven't worked out the way I hoped. Perhaps you can't possibly see how God could be at work in your situation. And perhaps you have no sense of God's presence in your life. If that's the case, can I assure you that God is drawing near to you? He's drawing alongside you and He's walking with you, even when you don't realize. He's walking alongside you incognito, just as He was with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And He's concerned for you. He's concerned about your disappointments and your heartaches, and He wants to hear about it. And can I encourage you to read your Bible? And come and listen to sermons, listen to the Bible being preached, and allow Jesus to speak to you through the Bible, and slowly to make Himself increasingly known to you. And then can I encourage you to invite Him into your life? Surrender to Him in worship. And allow Him to pour His love and forgiveness and peace into your life. And open your eyes so that you can experience the presence of the risen Jesus in your life. And then you will receive a hope, an eternal hope. Why don't you make that first step today? We're going to be having communion now, and it's a great opportunity to invite Jesus into your life. Perhaps you've never taken communion before, or perhaps it's been a long time, or perhaps you've taken communion many times, but you just feel full of discouragement at the moment. Well, this is a great opportunity to surrender to Jesus afresh and invite Jesus into your life afresh and receive that hope, that real hope, that resilient hope, that eternal hope. We're now going to be saying the words of the general confession together. Let's say the words together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against your children in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening.
For more information, please visit our website, abergavenybaptist.co.uk.